Okay, we're actually going to start with an illustration, and that's why the super kids are just going to stay in for a sec. Maybe Mark, or if you come up, because you're part of my illustration, if you can just move the maybe pulpit just to the side, just for this part, and that, as you know, we started a 4-week series on healing, which we will be culminating next Sunday with a healing service, but we had to take a break for a couple of weeks in the middle as we wanted to honour Brother Jerry as the apostle of our church. But we're back doing the healing today, and I believe that we're going to see God really move. And one of the things that we're going to be speaking about, and I would like to illustrate it for you first. Those of you who don't know me, I love illustrations. Lord, I'm a very visual learner. I always have been, and I'm a very visual thinker. And my sermons always come out of a visual first. There's a lot of people who preach and then God gives them an illustration. With me, it tends to be the opposite. I get an illustration and then I go to the Word of God and it comes. And so what we want to speak about today is the fact that we need to make a choice on whose report will we believe. We need to make a choice, not once, daily. Sometimes multiple times a day. And this is not just in healing, this is in anything, whether it's finances, whether it's family, whatever it is. So I just want to show you something which God had put in my heart. So Brooke, I'd like to get you to come, and Brooke can be sitting in the middle, maybe on a stool. And then we have Mark. Now Mark, for the purpose of today, is representing God. Okay? So Mark is very excited. He got to represent God. So when you hear Mark speaking, I want you to think this is God speaking. Now, there is an opposition to God, and I'm going to ask my son Jay to come up. Jay is going to represent the devil.
I'll be making a formal complaint with the casting department this week.
I cast Jay because I know he is very good at adapting. He's very good at adapting and can genuinely sell a part very well. And any of you who have seen him will know what I mean. So, Jordan, you didn't get to practice, but that's your lines. Now, I'll just give you a little bit of a background while he's a method actor, while he's getting into the whole thing here. Okay, this is actually going to come from a true story. Many of you will know the story when Brooke injured her knee a few years ago, and it was a very serious injury. It wasn't a minor injury. And she was continually faced with reports. So I want you to put yourself in Brooke's position. Brooke is sitting here, representing the story where she couldn't walk. She was on crutches or laying down, but she couldn't use her knee at all. She couldn't use her leg. So I want you to imagine, and she is believing God for healing because she knows what God's word says. But I just want you to hear the dialogue. Where is the enemy? He's come. Is he going to sit down? You're going to get ready for the part. I actually need him to have a microphone as well. Have we got a spare microphone? Okay. Is that okay, Winston, if we use that?
Testing 1, 2, 1, 2. Okay. This is JJ on the mic. Microphone J.
Oh, this is dangerous, giving him a mic. Come and stand here. Now, so I want you to see. So Brooke is injured and she is standing on God's word, believing for healing.
Not standing because of the knee.
She's sitting on God's word. Okay. The Lord is speaking to her. God is speaking to her through healing scriptures. But at the same time, the enemy is also speaking to her. So we're going to actually start with the enemy, because often he will jump start before you even get a chance to go to the word. You're only allowed to go one at a time, okay?
You will never get better.
Jay?
It's called acting.
No, that's not acting.
What else am I supposed to say? You will never get better. Boom.
Psalm 103:3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits.
Where does it say that?
Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases.
Amen. Where does it say that?
Amen. Come on, let me back to your side. Come on.
call this devil the mother-in-law devil. Such a shame about the knee, isn't it, Brooke? Now, I was hearing, you know, it's family trait, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, so sad, because we had that picnic planned for next week, but obviously you won't be able to. Obviously, like, you'd want to, but you wouldn't be able to, obviously. There's no possible way for you to be there for that one, because it's impossible for the knee to recover at this stage, obviously. My heart goes out to you, but obviously that's just the way that it is. That's the way it's always been within our family.
It is written, Matthew 19:26, but Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.
Yes. Amen.
Has Matthew 6, what was it, Matthew 9?
Matthew 19:26.
Has Matthew 19 ever come up against the Lewis knee, though? That's the thing, Lewis knee, that's a generational one, I'm not sure. Should I keep going? It's improv. it's a shame, you know, because, like, obviously you need to understand this at this point. I just don't want you to get your hopes too high. I just want you to know what's always happened for us. So, you know, there's really nothing more that the doctors can do. So, but it's all good. A lot of people have lived good lives with bum knees, so it's all good. You'll be able to hopefully get through that. It's not a laughing matter, Brooke. There's nothing to be laughing about here. But, you know, you can... We'll get through this together. You, me, your bum knee, the three of us, we'll make a great pair.
It is written in Exodus 15:26. And I said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord, your God, and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you, which I have brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord God who heals you.
Amen.
Think you'll never run again. You loved running so much. Oh, but that's just the way it is, isn't it? That's the way it'll be. You didn't think that last time you went for a run, did you? That would be the last time your leg would ever be able to go for a run. It was just such an innocuous Wednesday going for a run on the treadmill, and that was the last time your knee would ever be good enough to run. Isn't that such a sad thought?
It is written, 1 Peter 2:24. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed.
Amen.
Yeah, that's a good sturdy shoe. That's smart at this point. I wouldn't be wearing heels again if I was you. I think that, yeah, a good solid, that's a steel cap, is it? That's a good,
3 John 1:2, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah. You're the one in the thousand case. Your knee can't be restored.
Matthew 4:23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and diseases among the people. You are healed.
I give up.
Can I tell you, I really like that. I hope you're getting a picture, because the louder the God speaks, the louder the enemy will speak. But the enemy won't necessarily just come and say it. He will do like Jordan said. He'll come as a friend. Yeah. And he'll get a friend to come and say, oh, I'm so sorry. Everybody's...
I've got your best interest at heart.
And that he will make sure that you read a magazine or you read a book that talks about that particular sickness or what it is you're facing or that financial deficit. But what I want you to understand is Brooke has got a decision to make. Mm. Her decision is whose report will she believe? So she has got Mark standing here representing God, speaking loudly God's word.
And I'm representing facts.
She's got the enemy representing facts, but not truth. The facts may be that her knee is injured, but the truth is that her knee is healed. But she has to make a decision.
No. But I represent the facts.
Yes, you do represent the facts.
Yes.
That's changeable facts. That's exactly right. Facts bowing to truth. Now, I want you to realize that this is no different to being in a court, okay? So Brooke, in this case, is the judge or the jury, depending what kind of case it is. She has heard what God has said. Mm. She has heard what the enemy has said. Now we need to know, what is she going to say? Whose side are you on? Brooke, I want you to stand and I want you to declare right now, you are making the judgment the same as in a court where they are waiting for the judge to come and say guilty or not guilty. That is up to her to decide now whose report will she believe, whose story is she going to say is correct, and where is she going to stand. So I'll hand the mic over to the judge.
I choose God.
Yeah. Woo! Yay. Amen. Amen. And I want you, thank you so much. Amen. Okay, thank you so much to Mark and Brooke and to Jay. Super kids, you can go out with Jay now. I shouldn't have the enemy speakers teaching super kids. Okay. It's okay, parents. Peter's going to come in a minute, but I want you to keep that visual in front of you, because every time you are facing sickness, and as I said, it doesn't have to be sickness. It can be financial. It can be family salvation. It can be something you're believing for. You are going to have those two voices coming. You're going to have the voice of God, and then you're also going to have the voice of the enemy, the voice of the world. The voice that tries to tell us what the facts are, but God that tells us what the truth is. And, you know, somebody who had to face that in the Bible was Abraham. When, you know, and it says in Romans, and I've been living in Romans 4 over this last week. It says, against all odds, when it looked hopeless, Abraham believed the promise and expected God to fulfill it. He took God at his word, and as a result, he became the father of many nations. God's declaration over him came to pass. This is from Romans 4, the Passion Translation. Your descendants will be so many that they will be impossible to count. And in spite of being nearly 100 years old when the promise of having a son was made, I don't think we have anybody here who is close to 100. And that, but you imagine a 100-year-old man being told that him and his wife, who I believe was in her 80s, are going to have a child. And you also need to understand the impossibility. They couldn't have children when they were in their prime. So it's not even as though they'd had a heap of children and then suddenly 30 or 40 years later, God comes and says, now you're going to have more. Sarah couldn't have a child when she was at a childbearing age. And then God comes and says, but now you're in your 80s and your husband's 100. Now you're going to have a child. So in spite of being nearly 100 years old when the promise of having a son was made, I love this. His faith was so strong that it could not be undermined by the fact that him and Sarah were incapable of conceiving a child. He never stopped believing God's promise, for he was made strong in his faith to father a child. And because he was mighty in faith and convinced that God had all the power needed to fulfill his promise, Abraham glorified God and God's word came to pass. And you know what? I've been living in that scripture for many different things, like not even specifically for healing, but living in that. It came to pass because he did not waver. He didn't let the voice of facts that was screaming in his ear saying this, 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 and this. He didn't let that affect him. He listened to the voice of God. The voice of God was more important to him than the voice of facts. And I love it where it says that he was so strong that his faith could not be undermined. When I was reading that the other day, I said, Lord, make my faith so strong that it cannot be undermined. That I can look at bank balances, I can look at physical conditions, I can look at unsaved relatives, and my faith will not be undermined. It will not waver because I am standing on God's word. I am standing on the word. I am allowing the word of God to be the loudest influence and to be the only influence, but to be the loudest one. And I'm not letting that nagging voice or that as Jordan did it so powerfully, and it wasn't even in the script. He put his arm around him. He said, "This is the mother-in-law. This is the person coming and saying, and that, oh, it's okay, dearie." You know, people can come and say the kindest things out of faith that can rock you. You know, "I'm really sorry," you know, or somebody comes and says, you know, "Oh, I had that and I'm really sorry." You know, you won't recover. People can are not even saying it nastily. The enemy will use all sorts of things. I remember Gloria Copeland said in a message years ago that I listened to, she said, "When the enemy is wanting to get you off your faith, he will make sure that everybody around you are continually being shown or stumbling across things which will kind of shore up his story." How many of you can go through a situation? I was talking to someone in the church about this last week. They were withstanding fear because of a particular situation they were facing. But suddenly they said every ad on TV seemed to be for that disease. They'd go into it, yeah, they'd see, oh, yeah, headlines of the Herald Sun, so-and-so diagnosed with this. You know, people ring up and say, "Did you hear?" You go on Facebook, you know, "Please pray for this person," you know, and it's just, you feel as though you're surrounded by it. And that is not an accident. That's because the enemy's trying to shore up his case against you. But, you need to say, and ever since it was Pastor George years ago who taught me the concept that you are the judge. You are the one in the courtroom. You've got, you know, you've got the defense. You've got everybody. You've got the people on either side. But you've got to say, whose report will you believe? I agree with God. I agree with God. I agree with God. I agree with God. I stand with him. I'm sorry. You turn around and look at the enemy in the face and say, "I'm with him. I'm on his side of the room." And that, but you need to have that faith like that, like Abraham, where it says that against all odds, when it looked hopeless, Abraham believed and expected God to fulfill his promise. But then when he said his faith could not be undermined, or most of the translations I think said his faith doesn't waver. But I love that what the Passion Translation said, his faith could not be undermined by the facts. The facts were that Sarah couldn't conceive. The facts were that they couldn't have a child. But he would not let his faith be undermined by the facts. And when Brooke went through that situation, because most of you know the scenario of the knee, that wasn't made up. We went through that. She was told she would never run again. She was told she would never wear heels again. She was told she would never be able to jump and do things like that. This was the girl that was up here jumping and leading the meeting this morning and praising God and wears the highest heels you can imagine, even sometimes when she's leading and jumping. And that, you know, this is I was in the room when the enemy, which was one of the top physios in Melbourne, was saying to her, "You will never run again. You will never wear heels again." And then we had to go out and process those words, but then say, whose report will we believe? God says, "By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed." God says, "I sent my word and I healed you." God says that to bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. He forgives all of our sins and he heals all of our diseases. And we needed to firm ourselves up and continue to say that, "I agree with God. I agree with God. My knee may be so painful. I may be limping around. I may not be able to stand, but I agree with God. I agree with God." As you know, I had to do the exact same thing, which is when this whole message was quickened to me when I was pregnant with Jordan and they said I would not carry him to full term, and I was just getting negative report after negative report, and after every negative report, every fact, Peter and I would look at each other and we'd say, "I agree with God. I agree with God. I agree with God. I agree with God." And that 6'3" guy that was up here before is a result of agreeing with God and seeing what God will do. So we're starting off this with an illustration, and that But and I'll get Peter to come up. We're going to tag team, and we'll probably tag team again later. But I want us to have such a foundation. And I want you to realize that you are the judge. You are the one who is sitting in the court. And on one side, you've got the enemy's camp. On the other side, you've got God's word. But you need to decide whose side are you on. As for me and my house, we're on God's side. We agree with God, and we are standing on his word. Thank you, Peter.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not going to bring the devil into my sermon. Hallelujah. Hey, good to have you, brother, and do an illustration with you, Brooke. Hey, just to take a few light liberties and, you know. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 5, powerful. This is, whose report will you believe? Whose report will you believe? And it is a choice. And it is. It's. I've been a member of different boards, and I'm a member of a board a number of years ago, but I'm not an expert in how boards run. I'm not across all the legal side, but some of the people that are on the board were across it. They were on a lot of important boards in different areas. And so when something would come up, they would say, oh, yeah, this is what you do, and this is what the legislation says, and this is how you do things. So they would explain, because, you know, a board meeting is not the same as just a normal meeting. You know, you get a group of people sitting around a table, that's just a group of people around a table. But a board meeting has rules and regulations, and there's requirements, and there's ways. And you have someone sitting over there taking minutes. I don't know whether you ever... your dinner table, does anyone take minutes? You just, you know, take a report? Does it... Sorry? Yeah, imagine. Refer back to the minutes of the last dinner table. You said that we would have mashed potatoes today, but I think you'll find that this is roast potatoes. They take seconds. Oh, very good. At a dinner table, you don't take minutes, you take seconds. Oh, that's very good. I wish I thought of that. Anyway, but you don't take minutes, there's not an order, you don't sit down and say, okay, here's the agenda, and the agenda has, you know, comes out a week before, and you table what you're gonna say and things like that. It just doesn't work like that. There's a particular order of things. And I was at a meeting, and there was a letter brought. And then, so we all talked about the letter and everything. And then someone said, I think we should, we're not going to receive that letter. I said, what's that mean? They said, well, it's actually irrelevant to us. It's come through the wrong channels on us. It's just actually going to be totally ignored as if it didn't ever existed. And I said, can we do that? Like, we've all just read this letter. We've all just passed it around, talked about it. And it's like, no, and you can. It just works. So we don't table it. In other words, it's not brought into the official business of the thing. You don't table it. I'm like, I didn't know you could do that. And I was at another board meeting where when we arrived, this email had just been sent, and it was all this stuff was happening, and it mentioned legal things, and I'm like, oh, what are we doing? Sit down. And the chairman of the board said, yeah. All right, let's get on with the business. And I'm like, don't we have to actually deal with it? He says, they're wanting us to do this for them. And then if they want legal advice, let them pay for it. That's got nothing to do with us. I'm like, can we do that? Can we do that? And they said, of course. Yeah. This is a board. This is not just a group of people. We choose. We have an agenda, and things have to come through the right channels. And if that's not relevant to us, we can't even choose to do that. We've got to put that to the side. It doesn't belong to us. You know, and there's some things, if we bring it in, we become responsible for it. We become responsible for it. So if you, and this is one of the things, if you go and get legal advice on something, well, that legal advice becomes responsible to you that you must then hand it on to others. But if you don't seek it, then you don't have to, you're not responsible. So it's like, I didn't realize that. The boards, they take charge. They have an agenda. They choose. And even the things are being said, you do not have to choose that. And so I began the understanding, I'm the board chairman of my life.
You are the chairman of your life, all right? You get to determine what is tabled and not tabled and things like that. Because I had this strange idea that every thought that came in, I must deal with. I must process. That if something came to me, I must give it attention. I must give it focus because it's my thought. It's come to me. But, you know, that's not how temptation works. Temptation comes to you. And thoughts come to you. That's one of the devil's great methods of getting into you is to drop a thought in. And so I learned some things that I could say, like, I don't have to answer that. That's not for me to deal with. You know, that there's certain things that are just not my responsibility. They're not required. And you can make choices like that. In fact, you must make choices like that. You must lead your organization well. You must lead you well. You must take authority. You know, some people that are running left and right because they sit down and you've got an agenda. And if someone walked in and said, here's the agenda for the meeting, oh, you don't just put yours aside and say, oh, we've got a new agenda, people. Run around like a chicken with the head cut off. Sounds like a good plan. You don't just let anyone walk in with their agenda. Mark chapter 5, Jairus, verse 22. One of the synagogue officials named Jairus came up to Jesus and upon seeing Jesus fell at his feet and entreated him earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her that she may get well and live. And Jesus went with him. And a great multitude was following him and pressing in on him. So there's all happening. And in monks, we won't read this story, but there's a woman with a hemorrhage, 12 years. She's pressing in. She touches Jesus. She's get healed, but Jesus stops and said, who is that? All this time, Jairus is aware that he says, my daughter is at the point of death. Not that she's dying. She's at the point of death. She's right at the edge. You do not come straight away. So he's got this frustration of all these people now joining. He said, I didn't ask all of them. I asked Jesus, but the crowd came with to the point where it was difficult. The word for the Greek there is like pressing. They were pressing in on him. It's the word they use for squeezing grapes. They were pressing in, and he was coming through. And then in the middle, there's this woman who shouldn't be there. She presses in, touches, and gets the healing. Jairus, I just cannot imagine how frustrated he would feel through this whole process. You know, wonderful to have the healing, Jesus, but shouldn't we be going? Do you want to... verse 37 is something very interesting to me. So after he stops, talks to the woman, and some other things happen, he says, now we'll go to your home. Verse 37 says, and Jesus allowed no one to follow with him except Peter and James. Jesus always had the power to stop the crowd. I always thought that the crowd was just, it came. But he did the second half, no crowd. Why didn't he stop at the first part? Why did he allow this press? Why, you know, Jairus is getting frustrated. Jesus could have stopped them. But, you know, I think Jesus had a sense there's someone in this crowd. If I stop the whole crowd, I stop the woman. Can't stop the crowd until the woman's got through. And I'm looking at it from the point of view of how frustrating for Jairus. But look at it from the point of Jesus is Jairus needs to see the power of God flow. He might think he's being frustrated, but it's actually part of he's seeing a healing. Right there he is. He's probably heard about healings. I don't know how many he'd seen, but now he is seeing one as close. He's right there to see a miracle. So sometimes we think things that are frustrating, God's like, I've actually got a plan here. Yes, you know, the world says, do this, you know, God, Jesus, you're going to do it this way. Jesus says, don't do it that plan, do it this way. All right, so, while he was, so verse 34, he says to this woman's been healed, daughter, your faith has made you completely well. Go in peace, be healed of your affliction. And while he was still speaking, they came from the house of the synagogue official, so the servants came to him, saying, "Your daughter has died. No longer point of death. She's died in the delay." Wow. Why bother the teacher anymore? Look at their attitude. You're bothering him. Why trouble the teacher? Why? What a bother. Some people think when you come into God, you're just bothering him. Listen, it's over. Stop bothering God with your prayer. See, that's what people treat you as if you're bothering him. He wasn't bothering him. But they came and said, "It's over. Give up. It's done." But Jesus. Now, this is a really interesting word. But the New American Bible says Jesus overhearing what was being spoken. I want you to learn a Greek word, paraakouso. It's a pretty easy one today. Paraakouso. Akouso. Can anyone think of a word, akouso? Does it sound anything like something else? Acoustics. Well done. Talk about sound. Acoustics. Hearing. Okay. Para. Does anyone know what para is used? Alongside. So I think it's some words like parallel. And, you know what I mean? What's the name of a church? Is a para church organization means ministry that is not a church but runs beside a church. So some ministry organizations are para church. They're not churches, but they're running parallel to the church. They don't try and do what the church does, but they run with the church. So they're para. They're next to. So you put para. Para acuso. To hear from the side. All right. Now, some translations think, okay, I'm here. David, can you speak? Yes. I paraakouso him. All right. I'm hearing from the side. But that's not the only meaning. And I'm guessing it's not the meaning that's really here. The New English Translation brings it out really well. But I'll tell you, there's another way to do this. And we'll do this with David. So we'll do the first one, paraakouso. So David, can you speak? Okay, and I can hear him from the side. Now, David, I want you to come here and speak. All right? So now you are speaking. Can you speak?
Go, Saints.
I am going to para acuso. There's another para acuso. It's to push it to the side. That is para acuso, to take what you hear and put it to the side. Para acuso. So the translation of that, and I'll bring it up for the New English Translation. But Jesus, paying no attention to what was said. Now the translation of Jesus ignoring what was said. I think I'll have a quick look. Amplified. Amplified gives you both, because why not? It says, Jesus overhearing but ignoring what they said. That's just like, just take that. Paraakouso means I have the power to put you to the side. So the synagogue ruler is hearing this. Jesus says, ignore them, I'm going to tell you something. Ignore their voice, I'm going to speak. Now he's got two voices. Give up, don't bother the master, she's dead. Jesus comes, and what does Jesus say? Verse 36. Jesus, putting aside what was being spoken, said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid, only believe. Do not fear. Only be in faith." The worst translation. Stop fearing, only be believing. Now he's got two words. One from the servants, one from Jesus. Jesus says, what are you going to do with it? He's put that to the side and ignore it. And now you've got to choose what Jesus is saying. And he's saying, don't be in fear, only be in faith. Don't you think, well, I'll mix a little bit of both. It won't work, all right? You've got to stop fearing, only be believing. Because the fear and the faith is actually It's the same internal spiritual function. It comes from the same place. All right? It's what you do. It's the fear is actually faith in the wrong place or person or thing. All right? Fear is actually an expression of faith. It's just the faith going the wrong direction. So when we say don't be fearing means don't put your faith in what the devil is saying, but put your faith only in what I am saying. All right? So you've got, it's the same. So if you're in fear, you can't be in faith because it means you're back to front. So you've got to, but if you're in faith, you can't be in fear. So that's how good that is. So you just choose to engage. And so like the illustration right at the start, when you've got all these voices, and I appreciate Jay taking a little bit of liberty, sort of patting his part, and you know, we've got to explain, he doesn't get paid by the word, all right? He just gets he gets the same amount as Mark does, regardless of how much he sort of does, all right? Yeah, which is, you know, well, they know how much they get paid to come and do those illustrations. I did appreciate the way those voices come in all sorts of formats. The servants were almost being kind to the Jairus, stop bothering him anymore. What are you doing? Come on, just settle down. I appreciate the servants were back at the home. Jairus takes off. He says, I'm going to get Jesus. No one went with him. They were back at the home. He was the one. He had this crazy idea to go get that Messiah fellow, that speaker that was apparently doing all these miracles. What's he doing? Where's Jairus? He's gone off to get some guy called Jesus from Nazareth. Will that help? He thinks so. He thinks it's a good idea. I don't know why he's bothering with that. Because this is where the real action's happening. And then it happens. So they go to find him to tell him, give up on this foolish quest. Stop what you're doing. The only difficulty was in between... He'd just seen a miracle. He'd just seen a woman who'd been sick for 12 years, instantly healed. He'd been right there. Now when Jesus turns to him and says, let's ignore that. Let's just ignore that. You don't have to pay attention to that. You're the chairman of your board. You get to determine what is tabled and what is received. You get to receive, you know. Yeah, I'm just clarifying. I'm not saying as a board we don't listen to any negative reports or anything in a board, but I'm saying only those that are legally and right for us to deal with are the ones that we pay attention to. We only those that are given. Abraham, it says, he knew he was old. You know what's Romans 4 say? That Christine quoted just earlier. Romans 4. In hope against hope, he believed in order that he might become a father of many nations. Verse 19, without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver. Yeah, that report came in. It's not like when the doctor says something, the doctor hasn't said anything. The doctor has said something. The doctor is a well-advised, but you know what? In hope against hope. That is one type of truth which operates in this in this world. But I have a hope and a truth that is different. I'm in covenant with the living God. Psalm 103 says, I forget none of the benefits that I have in him. So what it means is I can hear that, but then I just choose to ignore that because I have another truth which I am given, which I lay hold of. And that's what Brooke had to do. All the advice she was given was actually right advice, but it wasn't what she needed because she's in covenant. And she is chairman of the board, and she can say, I don't have to receive that. I don't have to receive that. I remember in a different situation, a financial situation, we were selling a car many, many years ago. And I was just learning some of these things, and I always put this in because it puts me in a good light. I was out in the backyard putting the clothes on the line. Men, there's a thing out the back called a clothesline. Who would have thought? Little squeezy things you put on. It's just... Anyway, I'm not sure whether our current house has one, but the other one. No, I'm a good husband. And so I was at the back hanging the clothes on the line, but we were selling this car. And I came to hear terrible time to be selling a car. Car market's in a slump. Used cars are really down the toilet in terms of value. And we need the money because we're going to buy another car. New. We thought this is the right time. God sort of brought it together. This is the right time. We need to sell the car. And thoughts, what are you going to do? Where are you going to find a buyer? How are you going to find a buyer? Yes. And out of my spirit, you don't have to answer that. Don't have to answer that. But these are good questions. Inquiring minds do want to know. That's the trouble. Sometimes you're more curious about the things that the devil's saying. You actually want to find out a little bit more. What does it mean? You know, I can't wear high heels. Oh, I'm going to think about that for a while. You know, I love what Jay said. That last run you did, you know, because this was a real situation. Okay, just a little, just over a week ago, Brooke ran another half marathon. All right? Give her a... This is her testimony, because I ain't run a half marathon. I was there when she ran it, right beside her. All right? You might say, well, how do you do it? She does it on a treadmill, all right? It's not such a big thing to be right beside someone who's doing a half marathon. I was in the other room watching something on the television. Yeah, doom, 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 doom. She's run. Yeah, 21 Ks. So I was right there, right beside her. Every step of the way. But she would have had the thought, last ever run, because that's what she was told by a very respected physio. Just not going to... You'll never be able to wear high heels again. You'll never be able to do this again. You'll never be able to do this. It's tempting. You know, in the book of Proverbs, it says that gossip is like a delicacy. You know, when someone says something to you and you're like, I really shouldn't. But for the purpose of prayer, can you just go into this a little bit? You know that person, you know? Just so I could pray for them. Just tell me a little bit more about this. You know, gossip's delicacy. You want it. And what the devil says is sometimes we enjoy chewing on it and thinking about it and running around in our mind. I'm not gonna believe it, Lord, but I just need to think this through a little bit. I need to look up and... Alternate to high heels for the rest of your life. What does the Google page say to that? The all-knowing Google. What can I find? I'm just saying that this side is tempting. It draws you in. It comes as if it's offering sympathy. It comes as if it's offering, you know, help. The servant said, don't bother the master. This is Jesus putting that aside. Putting that to the side. Yeah, so powerful. Don't be fearing. Only be believing. Amen. Now we're going to walk to your home. And this whole walk, you've got one job. Don't be fearing, only be believing. Stay in faith. Put faith. You've got to put that aside and hold on. We have to make a choice. So I'm at the clothesline. What's going to happen? Oh, you know, how are you going to sell a car? You know, where are you going to find all the buyers from? And, you know, the Lord said to me, tell him, you know, the devil, because it was in the back of my head, tell him to speak to me. Can I do that? He's like, God said, you don't have to have the answers. You're trusting in me. So I was like, oh, devil, are you so concerned about where we're going to get this buyer? Ask God. If you really want to know where we're going to find a buyer, go and ask God. You know, because God knows, if you're really curious, if you really want the answer, don't ask me, ask God. I'm saying, every time they thought, don't ask me. Don't ask me. That's not for me to answer. My job is to be in believing. My job is to be in trusting. He'll take care of that detail. How are you going to do this? Just ask him. Because, you know, we all know the devil doesn't really want to know. He just wants to get you down. He just wants to get you in fear. I remember one time I'd messed up and I was praying and I was, you know, repenting and getting myself right. But I just felt so bad. But I felt I was walking, and it's like, just as if the devil himself was sitting on my shoulder, condemning. And the Holy Spirit said, hey, why don't you talk to him? You know, you're just sitting there letting it sit. And this came up in my heart. I said, okay, enough about me. How about you? Because I'm forgiven. But you, you're defeated and you're going to hell. I literally turned around and I felt an oppression fly off. And it's like, I've been walking with this thing. Enough about me. How about you? Out. How dare you? I'm forgiven. Hallelujah. So you've got to be the chairman of the board. What's this report doing here? Out. Doesn't belong here. Where's our faith report? Bring that in. Oh, hallelujah. Here it is. Ah, oh, that's the report I was looking for. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget none of his benefits. Let's table this one. Oh, Matthew 19:26, good report. Let's put this in the books. Jesus looked and said, with men this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. That's what you've got to do. You just got to table. And that becomes what you are putting your faith in. Hallelujah. But whose report will you believe is your choice?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And you can choose. You can do what Jesus did and you can paracuso. All right, turn the person next to you. I'm a paracuso expert. Sounds like paralegal, doesn't it? I'm guessing paralegal means something to do with legal. I think it's parallel, not anti-legal. But I'm a paracuso expert.
Yeah.
Hey, every time I get a report, I'm sorry, that just... Yeah. People are like, okay, when bad reports, I know what to do. Make it go and sit with Jocelyn. Get over there. You can take his St. Kilda stuff and take it over to the side. I remembered. Paracus. So that's what, whose report will you believe? I'm just, that's out, this is in. This, I just lock in this. Hallelujah. But you got to realize that it comes back. It's not, you know, you can't, it's not just a once off. Sometimes he does it, excuse me, out.
Yeah,
hallelujah. And just lock in and focus. And disallow, because you get to choose that. That is your choice. That's your responsibility. You're the chairman of the board. Hallelujah, chairman of the board. Won't we stand? Chris, do you want to come and add something? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand. We're going to pray for a couple of people who I know this morning specifically are needing to see breakthroughs in their body. But if there's anybody else, this is open down here. But I want you to, as I said, whether it's these principles are the same, whether it's healing, whether it's finances, as I said, whether it's a salvation.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
We only got one inquiry for that car that
yes,
we had
that's
to sell.
Right, yes.
Only one. And they paid $500 more than I wanted. And you heard that right. They paid more than I was hoping for.
Amen.
He had it all sorted.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Believing God, doing what God tells you to do. You know, I've been studying the life of Abraham so much. And, you know, I know he wasn't perfect. There was times he messed up. He tried to say his wife was his sister and other things. But what a man of faith, though, when you look at everything. And I was reading in Genesis this morning when he was, you know, going up with Isaac to, you know, sacrifice him because of what, you know, and when Isaac, it says in Genesis 22, Isaac said to him, "Dad, we have the wood and we have this, but
where's
the sacrifice?" And it just said he turned and said, "My son, God will provide." And then
thank
kept
you,
on walking. I thought, Lord, what faith. What faith.
Yeah.
He didn't say, oh, well, I'm hoping there's something. He just said, my son, God will provide.
That's so good.
And, you know, that faith, that absolute faith that somebody comes up to you and says, you know, what's going to happen? You know, the doctors have said this. You say, my son, God is my healer.
Yeah.
You know, God has healed me. You say, my son, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. Or say, my son, God will provide. Yeah. You know, I just want us to, yeah, Abraham made a choice, okay? He was not a robot. He was a man with the same emotions and feelings as we have. That's why later on I said he messed up. And he, you know, tried to palm his wife off as his sister. And that I would thank you for never, ever telling anybody I was your sister. And, but I'm just saying genuinely, you know, that it shows he had the same human emotions that we did. Just sometimes we can read about these people and it's almost like they become superheroes, like they're the new Marvel characters. They're not. They're people, real people with the same human emotions that we have, and yet they made choices, which is why Abraham is a hero of faith.
Yeah.
Why is Abraham spoken about so much, you know, thousands of years later? Because he chose to believe the report of the Lord.
Yeah.
It's because he was a hero of faith. All these people, you know, I know where it says, you know, that it said Elijah is, it was a man, the same as me, and you had before. It's somewhere in the New Testament.
In James.
Because in James, Brother Jerry preached about it so powerfully. And a man, Elijah was a man the same as me with all the same feelings.
Yeah.
But he prayed. Yeah. And I'm totally paraphrasing it. But, you know, he prayed, and this is what happened.
That's right.
And sometimes we can look at these people, the Elijahs, and that the, you know, the Abrahams, the Davids, and we can think that it was different for them. No, it wasn't. They made a choice, and it's up to us to make the same choice today. Whose report will you believe? Are you going to stand on the side of what the world is saying? Are you going to stand on the side of the enemy? Or are you going to stand and that and say, I am standing. I agree with God.
That's right.
I agree with God. I love it. Pastor George says every time the enemy comes and says, this isn't going to happen. You're not going to get that money. You're not going to see that breakthrough. He just said, he always says, he just goes on this. He goes, excuse me, devil, I'm with him.
Yeah.
I'm with him. I'm with him.
I agree with God.
I'm standing with him. And that is what gives us the confidence.